your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome to Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Stephen Prisabella. Stephen is the president of Jushi Medical, a leading multi-state operator of cannabis companies. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Jeff, it's my pleasure to be here.
So Stephen, first and foremost, we'd love for you to talk a little bit more about Jushi and some of the brands and your approach with the company.
Yeah, so Jushi is a multi-state operator of cannabis licenses. We are in several states right now, both in the medical and adult use arena. The company was founded in late 2017, early 2018 by a gentleman named Jim Cassioppo, another gentleman named Eric Moff, and finally John Barak. And these guys had been investing in cannabis on the hedge fund and investment banking side for several years. And what they found was that while there was some initial success, they really wanted to put together a strong management team with deep corporate knowledge and understanding of finance and operational expertise. And so they founded this company, and we've had a lot of success both through M&A and also through license wins. Both the East and West Coast. And we've kind of built this mid-size operator today that we feel is really well positioned to take advantage of the coming wave of adult use legalization.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have a pretty amazing executive team. So it's really nice to see that stacked on your side. I think one of the things that I really liked about your background is that, you know, first and foremost, you're a lawyer by trade. And you know, doing a little bit of diligence on you, you know, you spent a big part of your early career in M&A and corporate governance and securities and healthcare regulation, the list goes on. And I mean, it'd be great to hear from you. How did you get into the cannabis space?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So I started my career as a healthcare attorney. I graduated from law school in the height of the Great Recession. May of 2010, nobody was really hiring traditional corporate lawyers at the time. And so one sector that was really hot was healthcare. You know, Obamacare had just passed, a lot of the implementation of the regs were going in. So I spent the first really 4 years of my career at a large law firm doing healthcare and kind of corporate law on that side, counseling hospitals, physician practices, and pharmaceutical companies. And then in 2014, New York legalized medical marijuana with the Compassionate Care Act. 2015, the application process rolls around, and many of our corporate clients wanted to apply for licenses. So that was my first real foray into cannabis, advising some of those clients. And before I had a chance to actually submit applications, I was hired away by a sovereign tribe, the Seneca Nation of Indians here in upstate New York. They're one of the richest Indian tribes in the country, to put together a cannabis program for them. And it's very interesting what we did. We actually we spent 6 months in Colorado learning the business from some of the top operators out there. We brought in great consultants, including the guy who had written the original regs in Colorado. And we put together a package, both on the business and legal side, to essentially launch a medical marijuana program on their territory within New York State. We were successful in passing the law the first week of January of 2016. But unfortunately, the program never got off the ground, I think, due to some tribal infighting. And so, you know, I saw the writing on the wall. It was very fortuitous. I went to an open house at this neurology clinic here in Buffalo, the Dent Neurology Clinic, and I met with a gentleman named Dr. Laszlo Metzler, and we started to talk about cannabis. And it just so happened that Dr. Metzler had just gotten into cannabis about 6 months ago because New York had gone live January 1, 2016. And 8 of the 10 conditions New York legalized for were neurological in nature. And the Dent, being the largest neurology clinic in the country, was getting 400 or 500 phone calls a day. So Dr. Metzler quickly established a cannabis clinic, and we immediately bonded over that. And he said, I need somebody that really understands both business, but also cannabis law and regulation to come help guide me. And so within a month, they actually created a position for me here at Dent. I started out as the Executive Vice President of Business Development and their first ever general counsel. And I went on to run this organization, the Dent Institute and its cannabis clinic, really for the last 3.5 years until I started at Jushi. And it was at Dent that I kind of cut my teeth on advising different states on policy, working with the United States Senate on different legislation, becoming a real advocate of what this plant can do for patients by seeing it firsthand, what Dr. Metzler was doing. And we also really pushed the envelope on research and education. And that's how I found myself in cannabis. It was really kind of circuitous. It's been a very, very wonderful experience.
Pretty amazing working on compliance and regulations and kind of moving into all of these different areas when it comes to cannabis. I think that's great. When you were at law school, I think you went to Columbia, did you ever in a million years think that you'd be doing what you're doing today in the cannabis world?
You know, and my wife will kill me for saying this. I really didn't try cannabis until I was like 30, honestly. I maybe had a brownie in college. I didn't know much about it. And then I kind of got thrust into it when New York legalized, and I had some clients saying, we need to apply. I didn't know the first thing about it. And I think that's a story of many of us in the cannabis industry that kind of were brought in from other sectors. I never in a million years thought I'd be a pot lawyer or a pot executive for that matter. But it is like any new or nascent industry. There are a ton of challenges. There is a lot of critical thinking and problem solving involved. It's a super interesting area. And it has the benefit of seeing, I think, tremendous results with its patient population, right? The effects we're seeing on opiate reduction, pain reduction, anxiety reduction are really staggering. And we've got good data to support that. And it keeps you motivated to come into work, right? When you're making a difference and you're building a business, it's not really that much of a job. It's become, you know, kind of like a passion.
Amazing. Well, I think, you know, right now in the current climate, you know, we're talking on, I think this is week two of the COVID-19 crisis, which is, you know, really taking the world by arm here. It's pretty frightening. But, you know, one thing that has really escalated to the point now is that many states across the country are now deeming, you know, cannabis dispensaries, especially on the medical side, deemed essential. And so I'm just curious, you know, from your vantage point at Jushi, you know, how are you guys really keeping your customers supplied with one important medical products, but also talk to us a little bit about, you know, the crisis and how COVID-19 is really affecting the business.
Sure. It's definitely a multidimensional sort of outlook here, right? You've got the corporate level. And I'll start there, and I won't go too much into it because it's not my purview, but cannabis stocks generally have been hammered over the last year, right? I think many are down 80, 90%. So the equity markets, again, I think are a little scared. So and Jushi has a very strong balance sheet. We're a public company. You know, that's all publicly available. I'll stop there before I get myself in trouble. We are managing things from that perspective, I think, very well. We're also doing a lot of initiatives to keep our patients safe and our staff safe. We're reducing workforce sizes. We're changing hours. We're doing things like, you know, asking patients to stay in their cars and then come into the dispensary one by one or in limited numbers, full wipe downs after every dispensary visit by a patient. We're doing temperature checks of employees throughout the day, you know, good proper use of personal protective equipment within CDC guidelines. And, you know, we're doing PSAs to our employees, and we're going to be filming one with our medical director, Dr. Metzler, here on Friday to talk about what the real risks are. And these are just internal because we want our staff to feel comfortable. We want them to understand this virus, how it can affect them, what the symptoms are to look for. But again, we really feel passionate that we want to be able to provide this medicine to people for several reasons. Again, I'm not a doctor and these are not medical opinions, but so this COVID crisis causes a lot of stress and anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. People are nervous about the future. They're nervous about their 401ks, their job. So stress is, you know, it secretes, causes secretion of stress hormones, which are generally steroids, and they reduce your immune response. That's one. You don't want to have, you know, your immune response reduced at a time like this. So products like cannabis may have some therapeutic effect there. And the other thing is, what we're so focused on in the country is this opiate epidemic. We want patients who have successfully transitioned from opiates to medical marijuana to be able to continue to have access to their medical marijuana so they don't backslide onto opiates. Opiates affect the lower brainstem. They cause respiratory suppression, cardiac suppression in some cases, which is not good for a respiratory illness like COVID-19. So again, we really feel passionately that this is something that's important to our ethos and our company to keep our patients supplied.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, you know, hats off to you and, you know, some of the other MSOs that are out there and really, you know, keeping the supply open to customers and making sure that they have what they need, especially in this really crazy, unprecedented time. You know, I think one thing that has become more visible and something that I've been seeing every day, especially in the last week, is some of these outlets that are more mainstream, like the New York Times, ABC News, LA Times. Every day I'm seeing press around, you know, how important it is for people to have these products. And, you know, we see it a lot in the cannabis trades, but to see that in mainstream news is super important. And I think we're also going to see a lot of changes coming out of this. You know, unfortunately, dealing with a crisis has also escalated things that, you know, need to hit the Senate floors for other states and, you know, how important it is to get products to folks. So I think it's good to see the world coming together, communities coming together, and also companies who are providing these really important products.
And Jeff, what I will say is there's a real spirit of cooperation amongst cannabis companies right now. I think it's not lost on anybody, whether it's the executive level all the way down to, you know, our retail store, you know, associates, that this is a chance for cannabis businesses to shine, to show their good citizenship, and to show that in a crisis, we can stand up shoulder to shoulder and be there and support our communities. Because like healthcare, cannabis is local, right? You're state by state. You're integrated into your communities. You know the customers and patients coming in very well. And, you know, we view ourselves as, you know, I think very lucky to be considered an essential business right now. And we are, you know, certainly taking that responsibility very seriously.
100%. You know, when we kind of think about everybody is sheltering at home or staying home and really trying to not get sick, you know, they're in front of their computers and they're kind of a captive audience. So I'm just curious, you know, at least, you know, for some of your colleagues on the marketing side, like how are they making sure they're getting information from whether it's advertising or email and, you know, in front of them, letting them know, you know, where they can get products?
Yeah. So we've employed, I think, a variety of approaches. On the cannabis side, I know we've really used social media and I believe text message and email updates to convey to our customers in Pennsylvania that we're now doing what we're calling a wisdom hour, you know, allowing both immunocompromised and elderly patients to come in early to essentially shop for their cannabis in a much less crowded environment when the store has been, you know, fully deep cleaned overnight to reduce any risk of, you know, infection. So this has been actually very effective across, you know, that marketing channel. I also run the CBD division of our company. And we plan to put out a lot of really good content because we know people are kind of looking at their Instagrams or their Facebooks or their websites. We'll be putting out some really good content about our products, but also about how cannabinoids can help you in general and the history of these products, because we think this is also a very good time to educate. And people, while they're sitting at home, you know, I think this is a good time for people to kind of tune into education, inform themselves, and learn about these products.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, even for me, I have had tremendous problems sleeping in the last 2 weeks, just normal anxiety, but just business and money and financials and, you know, all of the things that are hitting our news cycles. And I literally over the weekend, you know, I bought, you know, CBD sleep pills. And like, I think they're coming today, but like, I need to sleep. You know, and I want something that's natural and something I don't want to have to rely on prescription drugs. So I think for someone like me also who has never actually taken it before, I've been reading a ton about it and I'm going to try it. And I feel like there's a lot of people that are going through the same motion, you know?
There is. And I think, you know, this is actually a great segue into some other topics. But what's so interesting is that, you know, we can give you suggested dosing, but beyond that, we need, I think, so much more research to kind of hone in on the precision of, you know, what you, Jeff, should take particularly. Because everybody's endocannabinoid system is different. Your response is different based on whether you're a cannabis user or you're naive to cannabis. Your height and weight may or may not have something to do with the way you respond to cannabinoids. We've seen it go very many, you know, different ways. And so on the research side, As Congress is looking at, making changes to small business legislation and other healthcare legislation, allowing companies to do more advanced cannabinoid research, both on the hemp side and on the marijuana side, is something we are really looking at hard. I think it's the next logical step for this industry to be able to get really good prospective data out there on the cannabis plant in general. And, we've got some good data at Jushi from a relationship with the Dent Institute. They've treated 13,000 patients with cannabis. We've got great retrospective data and studies on that. We work actively and we advise states with that data. We just sent a package off to the director of cannabis in New York with several of our abstracts and data sets. We collaborate on policy. But this is, again, you bring up a great point. So, we're going to get that CBD, the sleep pills, and you're going to say, okay, do I take one or two or three, or where do I start? And that's a big part of what I do day to day, is try to advance clinical research initiatives for our company and really work with both Dr. Metzler and our chemists on formulating products that are based on clinical science rather than kind of anecdotal inference.
So I think that's a really good segue just as far as hemp-based products, CBD products, THC products, and obviously marketing to people across the country is so particular because every single state has different jurisdictions and different laws and different regulations. So I'm just curious from you, with a kind of law background yourself, how are you guys keeping up with compliance? Like, how are you guys looking into all of the different state regulations and, keeping abreast of that as they change literally on a daily basis?
Yeah. So if I have my legal hat on and I'm looking at the statutory text, I think the FDA gets a bad rap. The FDA is just enforcing the law that's on the books, the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And they're doing the best that they can with the law that they have to enforce. And I think Congress has said to them several times, we want a pathway to CBD legality. We want regulations. And, without a really statutory text change, I think they're limited. But what I think we will see, both in states and on the federal level, is I think we will see some policy around total milligram exposure per dose. You probably will have a food grade consumption milligram. You probably have a dietary supplement grade milligram amount, and you'll probably have a pharmaceutical milligram amount. And then, once FDA comes out with some of these guidelines, I think marketing will become much, much easier. Right now, we're all kind of in a vacuum. We know we can't make health claims and drug claims. We know if we add other products to the CBD, we might be able to make structure function claims. But it's very difficult to talk about these products and the effects that they have on patients without running afoul of the FDA's kind of enforcement purview. So what we've done is simply educated on why the products were created, who's creating them, the integrity of our testing, and patient testimonials where we can. We've been lucky enough to have a great relationship with several large neurology practices on the East Coast, and we've had thousands of patients using our products. And our roots are in the medical arena, and our CBD products are used by the top neurology practices in the country. That's largely, I think, thanks to the background that Dr. Metzler and I have in the neurology space, but many of these practices were looking towards a brand that was credible, right? They didn't want a sort of gas station brand CBD. Now, I'm not going to impugn the quality of whoever's selling, CBD in a gas station. I don't know if it's good or not. But what they wanted was something that a physician had put his imprimatur on, reviewed the lab results on, worked on the formulation, and is sold to and entrusted by him to be given to his patients. And that's where we really had success as a brand, and it's our brand value, is that this is a product by doctors for patients with their best interest in mind. So we're more of a sort of health and wellness brand versus a lifestyle and recreation brand.
Sure. This is amazing information. I think, really focusing on everything that's happening today and with the crisis, is as people are listening right now, this is really important stuff. So I appreciate you really going into that. We're kind of at that point of the show right now where we do a little bit of a quick fire challenge, which is very easy. You don't have to get nervous. I'm just going to ask you a question and just the first thing that comes to your mind, answer it.
Great.
You ready?
Okay.
Okay. So first question, one thing that you learned about yourself during quarantine.
I love to sleep in, and without having to go into the office, it's very difficult to wake up in the morning.
I also find, by the way, that many of us are working way more longer hours. And by the end of the day, we're all really tired. So I could see that. Okay, if you could go anywhere in the world, and of course, if you could go now safely, where would it be?
The best experience I ever had was in Tel Aviv. I was there about 11 years ago. I'd love to make it back.
Nice. What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
I walk our puppy. We just got a puppy about 11 weeks ago, and he's making it through the night now. We're really excited about that, but he needs to go first thing in the morning. And so I am with my shorts out in the front yard, whether it's snowing or not. And that's priority number one.
Well, yeah, we had some snow yesterday. That's for sure in the Northeast. What kind of dog? What kind of puppy?
He is a Shiba Inu Terrier mix. He is very lively and very spunky. He's just a great rescue from the South. Just a really wonderful pup.
That's awesome. And what good timing, right? Totally. To have a puppy right now. Favorite meal in the last week?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been trying to buy local and support restaurants. I think there has been an incredible outreach here in New York, especially to support, you know, these small local businesses, local restaurants. So I had some great Korean barbecue tacos from a Korean barbecue joint down the street from my apartment.
Awesome. What is currently running low in your house right now?
I don't want to say patience. we're good on toilet paper and Lysol. I think we're running low on healthy food because I feel like in this crisis, we are certainly craving more sort of sweet and savory products. I think I'm eating a lot less greens and kale than I have. And, you know, we're very anxious to get back to our routine of working out, eating healthy.
Same thing in my house.
It's been a challenge.
Luckily, I'm coming off of like a 3 month of a Whole 30 challenge. So it was, again, really good timing because it's certainly not in effect right now. And then, you know, just last question, you know, when we get out of this, you know, what's the first thing that you're going to do socially?
Yeah, I'm going to try to support local businesses, right? I'm going to go to some local bars and restaurants. I'm going to shop local. You know, we carry our CBD products in many local stores. And so I want to make sure that they're patroned, right? And I think raising awareness and support for those businesses and those small business owners is just so important. Again, we're part of the community, and I think giving back to the community and getting out there as soon as this is passed is very important.
Awesome. Well, Stephen, listen, I appreciate you coming on the show, especially as things are crazy with work. You know, really, really solid, great information. And I also learned a ton from you. So thanks again, and, you know, appreciate you coming on the show.
Jeff, thank you anytime.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.